Sanki kalıbı bu işlerde ısınır diye yapıp yıkılan ağzımız yolda işler veriyor. Krishna doesn't accept that. Krishna says, love me, love my devotees. And the more you serve my devotees, the more pleased I am. And the same goes with Srila Prabhupada. So he said in his last days, it's not recorded, I think, on the page, a statement of his, but it is written down in Satsang's revelations and also in Tamil Krishna Goswami's diary. And so there's some variations in the wording, but basically Prabhupada said that your love for me will be shown, will be demonstrated by your ability to cooperate together, keep this movement going after I am gone. So that was his criteria for love of Prabhupada, that we cooperate together. And it is difficult. It is very hard because we're all individuals, and Prabhupada pointed out that even in the spiritual sky there's disagreement. Because they're individuals. But Prabhupada said there's such a thing as transcendental disagreement. That is to say, let's serve Krishna this way, no, let's serve Krishna this way. Because the subject is how to serve Krishna, it's transcendental. And it does not devolve into animosity, envy, and so on. So long as everybody appreciates that everyone is trying to serve Krishna. So the individuality is there. We're a personal movement, and that means we're social. To say that God is a person is to say that God is social. That is to say, he has relationships with other persons. Even Prabhupada remarked that Krishna by himself is not particularly attractive. But when he's together with his devotees, then his attraction becomes revealed. The point is, Krishna is never by himself. He's always in the association of devotees. He never sees him by himself. So this is the social nature of the Supreme Lord. This is where his personality is manifest. So we are also need to do that. We are to have a society, probably called the International Society, a place where people can get together and form a society and a community where together we can serve Krishna. Ultimately, the strength of our movement in saving the world is when people see that this is a better place than wherever they have been. That it's nicer to be part of ISKCON than IBM or something like that, where the relationships in society is more attractive. Then the preaching becomes easy. If we are preaching to people to become devotees and they come to our society and they find the same old stuff or even worse, it was, the potency is not, it's not really there. So it is very, very important that we cultivate relationships with devotees. And this is a little different from relationships in the material world, because in the material world, our relation, the people we like, we form relationships based on sense gratification. When I became a devotee and we moved into a temple, I was startled at the people I was meeting. And I realized eventually that I simply hadn't really known the human race very well, because the people I associated with and got to know for those people that I liked. And there are other people who I wasn't very compatible with, and I would meet them and say hello and then avoid them. And so, you know, a whole bunch of the human race was like almost unknown to me. That all those people with whom I wasn't, I don't know, psychologically compatible, astrologically compatible, socially compatible, intellectually compatible, whatever it may be, I didn't know those people. I just knew a small group of them. I gratified in one form or another my senses. But it wasn't going to be like that in this guy. And I realized this is an interesting experience to have. And then I realized maybe the only thing, the only comparable situation I can think of is maybe during a war where there's a draft. The need for soldiers is very big, so all kinds of people are sucked into the military. And suddenly they're all thrown together with a common task of all kinds of people from all different backgrounds. Maybe something like that happens then, but it's an unusual thing. So this is the challenge of ISKCON. Not only do we need to cooperate together, but we need to cooperate together with people that are very, very different from us. We're not materialists. We have people from America, we have people from India. And even in India, the Gujaratis have to get along with the Bengalis. And so on. This is a chance to do something that has not been done, to actually form a community. Made up of people with all kinds of material, different backgrounds, and so on. Where we can work together cooperatively because the common goal is Krishna. When there are differences of opinion, we learn how to resolve them without animosities. So that's the challenge of this Krishna consciousness movement and the sign of its success. I want to say to all of my disciples, also personally, that I would like to see everybody show their care for me by caring for each other. And furthermore, there are so many other initiating gurus in this kind of their disciples. Also, have relationships with them and how to cooperate together with these people for the sake of Srila Prabhupada's movement. And then we'll prove something to Krishna. We'll make it actually happen. Srila Prabhupada wanted this international society for Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Amish reading a little early because we weren't sure exactly when His Holiness Bhakti Chodaswami would be here. So he's on his way and he'll be here in about 5 or 10 minutes. So, okay, no, that's not long. What we're going to do is a couple of the homages that we weren't able to read, we're going to read, and then I'll flash from our invited speakers to listen. Okay. I'd like to invite Srimad Krishna Purva to
please accept our obligations. Jai Shri Prabhupada. This year, we embarked on what you have often referred to as the quote-unquote long-term Bhakta program. With the birth of Leela Manjari, our life has changed tremendously. Balancing our responsibilities has grown more challenging, while providing one another with emotional and spiritual support has become increasingly demanding. These changes, however, have given us a small glimpse into the sacrifices you regularly make for your disciples and others who look to you for guidance. In our new role as guru to our daughter, the many needs of a dependent are clearly apparent, and we're only talking about one kid. You have dozens who count on you for nurturing and who look to you for direction. Despite the attention you need to give all your spiritual children, we appreciate the guidance you kindly give us. Please bless us that we might both mature, following your example of self-sacrifice, and so too be truly loving and giving role models to our child. Your servants, Krishna Pulavididas and Vilama Manjari Devi Dasi.
Dear Gurudev, please accept our humble obeisance. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. As we are returning to your close personal association in Philadelphia, we want to offer the following prayer. Ravi Prakasha Te Gora Tapati Krutanantike Dahanam Aparathanam Dena Nandam Dadati Esho Ravindra Asharyas Tatsanite Vishalati. From afar, the sun illuminates, but it burns whatever is close by. Yet its burning of offenses gives pleasure, not pain. This Ravindra is thus amazing. We pray that we may be blessed to enter into this close company. Your servants, Vijayamani Das and Om.
Everybody gets to play on the words, right? You don't get it?
Except my humble
obeisance. Hope you don't get
searching through some of my old things, I came across my very first journal. As a kid, I was never really into writing or anything, but for some reason, when I became a devotee, I felt that you could jot some things down. As I read through it, I smiled and reminisced about those innocent days, the friends, the good times, the ridiculous things I did. It seems like it was all only yesterday. I realized that I was just some stupid kid with no real problems, but certainly I thought I did at the time. I thought that, although I tried to appear humble in my journal, I knew everything when I barely knew anything at all. I also thought about how very interested I was in Krishna consciousness, and how I would love to have that youthful enthusiasm back. So, how is this relevant to the Asakuta? Why am I talking about the silly journal of a 19-year-old? Well, I came across a few interesting passages that I'd like to share with you. I'm going to replicate them exactly, so please forgive their poor presentation. 527, 1992. Ravindra is excellent. I totally respect him, and later, if I feel a need for a spiritual master, I want him to be him. He's so intelligent. He has had a big impact on my thinking. He's rad. Nothing. He gave a refreshing talk on romantic literature and Shakespeare. I was like, wow. She related the sonnets to Christian consciousness, and I actually understand them more than I did when Mr. Cole tried to read them. Mr. Cole is my high school English teacher. 6/29/1992. Last night, I dreamt about Garuma Shurupa Das, and that I asked him to be my spiritual master. Sounds good to me. 7/4/1992. Rupa has my Hare Krishna shirt. I have to get that back. I never did get it back. In 2001, 9 years later, Krishna fulfilled the desire of that foolish 19-year-old boy. Srila Rudrashur Prabhu became my eternal spiritual master. When reminiscing about those times, it struck me. I still feel the same way about my guru. You are still excellent. I still totally respect you. You are really intelligent. You continue to have a big impact on my thinking. You are rad. Your talks are still refreshing, and you always relate Christian consciousness in a way that I can actually understand. Thank you, Guruji, for never giving up on me, and thank you for the example you set. I know that there is a new generation of young devotees who look up to you in that same way. Though referring to you as rad may slightly be out of date, these days, I bet you are flippin' sweet. Oh, and by the way, the next time you see him, please tell him that he can keep the shirt.
Within the next lecture I listen to. In your 1999 years of Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada, you explain how he shed tons of blood to make even one person convinced of Krishna consciousness. How after viewing correspondence letters from ISKCON leaders to Srila Prabhupada, you understood how many difficulties he endured to spread this movement, and that he therefore has no right to become discouraged no matter what. This also gives me inspiration to carry on. In that same offering, you stated that Srila Bhakti Mantapur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and Srila Prabhupada all had the same vision of a worldwide unified preaching movement, and you, Srila Gurudev, had dedicated your life to serve the mission. Therefore, I pray that whatever humble means I have to assist you in your quest to fulfill the desire, I beg to remain at your lotus feet always, hearing your word and carrying out your orders.
Dear Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisance. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and to your devotional service. Each time that I attempt to write a Vyasa Puja offering to you, I run into the same problem. It inevitably contains a multitude of points and references pertaining to myself. I always feel bad that these offerings never focus exclusively on you. However, in studying the Hamsaguya prayers, as well as the subsequent reading of Shelley's Ode to the West Wind, I have learned through your guidance that it is quite natural for the glorification offered by the supplicant to relate to their own condition. It gives the prayer an immediacy that facilitates sincere expression. In light of these considerations, I will proceed unabashed with the glorification of you that is intimately related to myself. A quality that I have come to associate with you, Gurudev, is tolerance. You came to this movement as a graduate student in religion in a time of rampant religious fundamentalism. I can only imagine the incongruity of these two worlds. Yet, you did not belittle your god siblings in reaction to what must have looked like to most of your university colleagues as zealous enthusiasm. Instead, through tolerance, you looked past the harshness and saw the sincerity of heart of your spiritual family. I have been fortunate to come to Krishna consciousness in better times. The mood of chastisement you have told us about is somewhat of a rarity, and in general, devotees do not advise us to drop out of college in a year. Still, despite all these advantages, I find myself intolerable of even the slightest instance of fanaticism. I have a few years of college under my belt and have become self-righteous under the weight of my feeble store of learning. Gurudev, as you have tolerantly overlooked the small transgressions of others, choosing instead to take advantage of their sincere and purifying friendship, please help me to not take the pedantry of academics more seriously than devotee association. Another quality of yours that I both appreciate and depend on is your constancy. Since I met you in the summer of 99, Gurudev, I have changed residencies not less than 10 times. You have changed none. Neither have you done so for many years. This is an apparently small point, but I believe the implications are immense. For me, your fixed position is practical proof of someone who is satisfied within. You do not depend on physical surroundings for your happiness. For someone like myself, who, due to being disconnected from the source of all happiness, is always frantically searching for satisfaction in the material world, your example is not only a relief, but also a standard to study and follow. You have exhaustive GBC responsibilities, temple problems, and problem disciples like myself to take care of. Yet, through it all, you remain steady in your practice of Krishna consciousness, fidelity to Srila Prabhupada, and loving acceptance of us all. I bow down and worship your precedent, and pray that I may become more like you someday. The Vyasa Puja offering is always a little intense for me. It is a type of writing like no other, because what I'm trying to accomplish is an expression of my love and appreciation for you. The problem is always a question of finding the deep sincerity of heart required for such an undertaking, and it can be a little painful to go trudging through the dust looking for a well. But at this very moment, as I am finishing this offering to you, I have stumbled upon a realization. This process of writing the Vyasa Puja offering, an offering that is meant to glorify the spiritual master, is simultaneously a spiritual practice. By writing about you, I am thinking more clearly about your qualities, and in this intense sort of meditation, I am feeling enlightened and encouraged to practice Krishna consciousness with great vigor. So even in this, you are helping me along. Thank you for your tireless support and unconditional acceptance. Sincerely, your servant, Akunda Gopalanandas.
spiritually with it. To the same as all the differences that you're going to see. In other words, you on this occasion of Vyasa Puja, as you recite any obstacle, you have continually pressed on the Srila Prabhupada's mission with all purity. Several years ago, in offering to Srila Prabhupada, you wrote, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and you, Srila Prabhupada, all have had a vision of a worldwide unified preaching movement, and each has pushed it towards further and further realization, and it is our job to continue. Many have given up on this effort. Some have formed their own enterprises to work separately. Still others spurn the institution to cultivate a higher practice. For myself, Srila Prabhupada, I confess to being not so bold for enterprise. I admit that I know of no higher practice than to follow your order. Prabhupada, I want only to be true to you and to your mission, nothing more. Please grant me this request by your mercy. While reading this offering of yours, reading, I was reminded of the greatest gift that you have given all of us. That is, you have given us Srila Prabhupada. You have made no attempt in your time as Srila Prabhupada's disciple or as our spiritual master to sway from or concoct something other than what Srila Prabhupada thought. Through classes, papers, phone calls, and discussions, you have explained to us with utmost clarity our philosophy and Srila Prabhupada's vision for our society. Due to your unceasing loyalty to Srila Prabhupada, I possess complete trust in you as my spiritual master. Moreover, I know that the responsibility of truly passing along Srila Bhakti Vinodai Kaur's, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Kaur's, and Srila Prabhupada's vision for a worldwide unified preaching movement does not end with your godbrothers, god sisters, or yourself. Just as you wrote to Srila Prabhupada, it is our job to continue. As your disciple, Gurudev, I have the responsibility of keeping Srila Prabhupada's message clear of contamination, of sincerely following your instructions and thereby developing my own Krishna consciousness, and of passing along the priceless gifts of Krishna consciousness to others. Thus, on this Vyasa Puja day, I beg for your mercy and guidance that I may continually progress in Krishna consciousness so that I am able to fulfill such responsibilities. Please bless me that I may eternally remain faithful to you and truly represent you, just as you have done to your spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Begging to remain your eternal servant, Srila Prabhupada.
Please, those two.
Oh, good.
Holiness Bhakti Saraswami needs much of an introduction. But we all know it is one of Srila Prabhupada's senior most and most beloved disciples.
The reason for the traffic jam was also quite unusual.
they're cutting the trees, they're trimming the trees, and then block the road, and that's what caused the traffic jam. We are thinking that there was a lot of traffic jam, but we thought really there was an accident. And then finally when we came to the spot, we saw it was just a silly reason that cutting the trees and that caused such a massive traffic jam. And in a way, when I came, I thought that I probably came on time. But then I have been informed that, no, I actually have only 15 minutes to allocate and stop. Do you have to stop for that? Or? Okay.
I didn't set up the program, but...
okay. I like to come to your circles next weekend for various reasons. One reason is Ravi Sarupra, who is very dear to me, and I consider him to be a very exemplary devotee. And Ravi Sarupra is actually leading the movement in a wonderful way. And the other reason is, in a way, ISKCON movement still seems to be dominated by the sannyasis. One of the householder spiritual masters of the movement. And that's another reason. And another reason is the amount of intimacy that I experience with Maharaj's disciples, the way they look up, the way they respect me and allow me to come close to them, but also very, very wonderful reason to take part in this ceremony. This year's participation, I must admit, is a little coincidental. Kaivalya Prabhu had been requesting me to come to his house since a long time. And 2 months ago, when I was in America, I decided to go to Kaivalya Prabhu's house at that time. And Kaivalya Prabhu had a pre-arranged program. And so he suggested that I came later. So this time, Father, I come. When I reported to Kaivalya Prabhu that this is the time I will be coming, then Kaivalya Prabhu informed me that this weekend is a water celebration. And so I said, okay, I must come. So here I am.
Last year I
could make it.
Oh, was year before last week? Or was it last? It was last year.
Year before
that. No, it was last year.
It was last year.
There's a whole year missing, but anyway, it was last year. Yeah, so you kept your promise.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Actually, for you all, the disciples of Ravi Sarupra Prabhu, it's a very special occasion. Our sampradaya, our process, actually is based on this relationship, guru-disciple, that constitutes our link to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is something that everybody knows, therefore there is no need for me to elaborate. But the one reason that I feel that this ceremony is very important is because or rather participation of devotees other than the disciples too is important, because it creates that family feeling that ISKCON actually is. Personally, I feel that if it is just remains between disciples and spiritual master, then it may create some sort of a sectarian mentality. Therefore, I feel occasions like this should be participated by everybody. Like in a family, when there is some occasion, then all the family members participate. It's not just the father and the son and daughter and so forth. Now, I think this family feeling should be more definitely established now. During Prabhupada's time, things were easy. Like Prabhupada was the head of the institution, he was the spiritual master, he was the founder of Ashtabhi. And with Srila Prabhupada in the center, we had wonderful celebrations on his last puja. But gradually, when other disciples of Srila Prabhupada started to assume this responsibility, then we also started to celebrate their appearance day as the Vast Puja. But I noticed that gradually it was becoming more of a just the guru, the spiritual master and his disciples. But personally I feel that that's not how it should be. It should be the whole society should celebrate. And that is how the relationship will level up. Actually, our movement is very young, and we, in many areas, we don't really know how to do things, how to act, and but in course of time, I'm sure we will establish the right standard for our movement. Personally, I feel that it is very important that we see all the members of our movement as our relatives. Yes, Srila Prabhupada is the center, and with Srila Prabhupada in the center, we can develop a very sweet and warm relationship. So the stronger the relationship becomes, the stronger the bond becomes among the devotees of ISKCON. The more united we become in ISKCON, the stronger the movement will become, and more effective our movement will become. This movement is designed, or this movement has been, the movement has been designed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very wonderful way. This movement has been designed to save the world in this very precarious age of Kali. And then Srila Prabhupada created this institution, and he designed this institution of ISKCON in such a way that this movement is now going to move forward to save the entire world. So that is the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Therefore, we should always be very, very careful and very concerned, like how to strengthen this movement, how to create this bond among ourselves, all the members of our movement, so that it becomes the most powerful thing to counteract disastrous effects of the age of power. Gandhi's purpose is to create dissension, and by creating dissension, Gandhi actually establishes his influence. And in order to counteract that effect of Gandhi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the Krishna Consciousness Movement, or Sankirtan Jagya. And the purpose of Sankirtan is to unify everybody. Through this Sankirtan, we are going to become unified. And the more we become united, the weaker will become the influence of Kali. And so this is our main objective, how to counteract the influence of Kali. Today the whole world is in complete grip of Kali's influence. And the way we can see it is by the way meditating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling is increasing. And to counteract that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is based on austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness. Like as Mahaprabhu's movement spreads, meditating will stop, intoxication will stop, illicit sex will stop, and gambling will stop. And this is why we all are here. We have a very important mission. We have an important mission to save this world. And the Quran said, now the question is, how to save it? Yes, Srila Prabhupada gave the perfect arrangement. And Srila Prabhupada's arrangement is actually non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement. And this movement is Mahaprabhu's arrangement. Mahaprabhu brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu brought Srila Prabhupada to the West. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually created this wonderful arrangement for Prabhupada to come and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And in order to assist Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada came to America, Mahaprabhu planted his men in the United States of America and other parts of the world. And Ravindra Saruk, devotees like Ravindra Saruk are those devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who actually have the place here. Once some devotee was telling Srila Prabhupada, I was so fallen, I was so degraded, so much absorbed in sinful activities. Prabhupada mentioned that that's all superficial. Because as soon as I call you, you came. So that is a wonderful arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, these devotees who came to assist Srila Prabhupada when he came to the West and took the leading position in this movement were not ordinary souls. They are actually very chosen devotees who will be planted here to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission. And you can see, like, there are such unusually brilliant personalities. And when I was young, I had an ambition to be in with the best of the people. It was some sort of a desire I must have had. And this desire was actually developed due to being influenced by Ayn Rand's
writing. The fountainhead, that's right.
Yeah, for sure. You also found that we are living. And yeah, at one time I was very much influenced by the writing. And she actually, yeah, created that kind of fascinating design and wanted to be in the midst of the best of the people. And
And I saw how Sri Krishna actually fulfilled that desire when I joined his coming. I had a clear understanding or a clear perception that these are the best people. These are the best people. And I'm sorry that I don't have enough time to properly glorify the Holy Spirit.
All
time.
We go over all.
The first time I made the circle was in 1980. Mr. Prabhu was staying in the VI building. You were
here, yeah. The one down in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, yeah. The VI building. You had your room on the top floor.
Yeah.
Right as you come up or come out of the stairs,
we used to own this building at the corner of Lincoln Drive and Green Street. And that was used by the Bhaktivedanta Institute was here. That's what we started, yeah.
Yeah, and you were working on your doctorate.
That's right.
And it was very striking to see. Actually, I think briefly also touched that point. Like, ISKCON in the early days used to be dominated by the sannyasis. And the sannyasis were the greatest person coming to you. And if you're not a sannyasi, like your greatness was not here in the same time. But what actually used to strike, I mean, what struck me about Ravi Sarupu, he was a householder, he was very withdrawn, he was working in his doctoral thesis at that time.
Yeah, right.
And but he was so brilliant. The way he would speak, the way he would I mean, I could just see that this person has such a brilliant mind and he's so intelligent. And at that time, of course, I couldn't develop a proper relationship with him, so it took me a few years because he didn't let anyone come very close to me. It was then gradually. But I used to always marvel at the Sri Prabhu's commitment to Sri Prabhu's mission. I used to see that here is such a brilliant person who can do so much outside the outside world, and although he did not have such a big position in his family at that time, as a matter of fact, he was even having some difficulties in service that he was later in the. Anyway.
Some sannyasis were out to get me.
I mean, the thing that used to surprise me, or rather struck me, is that he is such a brilliant person who would actually be, would have been so successful in the outside world, but he made all the sacrifices just to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. And that is what made me develop a very deep respect for him from the very beginning of our acquaintance. And then our movement actually started to go through certain difficulties. And then we saw the way of Mr. Prabhu took a stand to save Prabhupada's mission. I think he was the first one who figured out what was the main problem.
was the first person that figured out, and if I can correctly remember the analysis of the music, or the one I was trying to recall it. His analysis was, in simple words I would say, Prabhupada very emphatically told us not to appoint an acharya, not to appoint a world acharya. Because that is the reason why Gaudiya Math actually fell apart after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a wonderful organization to Gaudiya Math. And he spread Krishna consciousness very effectively, also in a very short time, throughout India. He also took about 11, 12 years to spread Krishna consciousness movement throughout India. And he emphatically told his disciples to collectively manage the institutions for the GBC body. But after his disappearance, his disciples, many of his leading disciples, couldn't understand the importance of that instruction and did not abide by the instruction. And instead of following that instruction and managing the society collectively through a governing body, they appointed an acharya. And when that acharya had spiritual difficulty, the whole structure collapsed. And Prabhupada told us many times that was the reason why Gaudiya Math actually fell apart. And it is Prabhupada who actually revived the spirit of Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement from the ruins of Gaudiya Math by establishing ISKCON. And all of us, of course, know that the real institution of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya Math is actually today's ISKCON. The continuity of Gaudiya Math is ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada understood the spirit of the spiritual master's instruction, and he followed that instruction, and he completely and perfectly established the structure that his future master should not have. But unfortunately, in spite of also showing so many, in spite of so many instructions of Srila Prabhupada on this matter, a few years, soon after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, we actually made a mistake. And that mistake was that although Srila Prabhupada told us not to appoint a world acharya, but this was actually Lord Srila Prabhupada's analysis, that we did not, in ISKCON, we did not appoint a world acharya, but we divided the world into so many zones, and there we divided the world into so many worlds, and then there we appointed the world acharyas, which was known as the zonal acharyas, and that's what actually caused the problem.
I have to say that really what was the problem became clear to me when you're giving me the credit for this, but actually I was standing on somebody else's shoulders for this, because it didn't become clear to me what was wrong. And I saw a letter that our godbrother Prajumna Das wrote to Satsuru Maharaj in 1978 protesting about what was going on. And that idea about how gurus were functioning was in that letter. And so when I saw that letter, then everything became clear. So really, I just kind of took his letter and built on it and explained it a little bit and broadcast it. So we have to give credit to Jinder Prabhu for seeing it.
Yeah. Then we also saw how Ravindra Saruprabhu took his stand on his conviction. He actually saw, he detected how certain individual was hurting the movement. And that leader of our movement at that time was an extremely powerful individual. And because of his power, he could also be an extremely dangerous person. But Ravindra Saruprabhu stood up against him. And he was practically alone standing up against that whole dynasty of them. And many of us were quite worried that knowing how vicious that person could be, could have been, we were worried that the stand that Ravindra Saruprabhu is taking, whether it is safe for himself. But Ravindra Saruprabhu was totally unperturbed about that. He was fearless. It was, although he was alone, standing up. I was thinking of the example, I don't know whether he would have prayed. David. Yes, well, if you can call them giants.
Goliath.
Yeah. Anyway, later on, Ravindra Saruprabhu also told me that a lot of his encouragement actually came from Madhu Sulamani. Because probably he also was a little worried at times that what could have happened. And but Madhu Sulamani just said, no, you take your stand, don't worry. Krishna will protect you. And it is Ravindra Saruprabhu's rather silent contribution that saved our movement from a great calamity. And then eventually in 1986, when our society appeared to be practically shattered, and in some of that, at that hopeless situation, Ravindra Saruprabhu gave a very wonderful leadership, and he, along with I think few other leading
devotees. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of us.
Yeah.
It was the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I guess I'm not alone anymore. Because the crisis became quite obvious at the time. Like in 1986, when we saw that so many of our leaders had spiritual difficulties and they left the movement, along with them, many of their followers also left the movement, and the movement was in very precarious condition. And at that time it was decided to find out what actually went wrong in this, where we made this, what was the mistake. And it was 50 men from all over the world was selected.
That was 87 actually.
87.
87, that was from the GBC.
Yeah, 87 GBC meeting in Mayapur. It really happened. And so this 50-man committee met, and there also Ravindra Saruprabhu gave a wonderful leadership and steered the movement through the troubled water. And since then, at least my perception was things were getting better. Like my perception was 88 was better than 87 and so forth. 89 was better than 88. But anyway, we have gone through various difficulties, and by this time now we can see it's becoming stronger and stronger. Like many devotees, many devotees have unfortunately left the movement, and the movement has become considerably weak. But I personally see that it is becoming prepared. ISKCON as a movement, after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, it's becoming prepared to become that strong and powerful spiritual institution that is going to lead this world out of its precarious condition caused by the influence of Kali. And we are very fortunate that Krishna sent a wonderful devotee like Ravana Sri Prabhupada to assist Srila Prabhupada in his wonderful mission and guide us all towards our glorious future. You are very fortunate that you have such a wonderful spiritual master. You are very fortunate that you have such a competent, powerful, pure devotee to guide you in your spiritual life. And I'm also very fortunate that I have such a wonderful guide also. That I know as long as the body of my own self were there, this movement is safe. And it has been proven in the course of time. And I feel very fortunate that I have such an intimate relationship with such an exalted devotee. So I also feel hopeful about my spiritual life. His Holiness Ravana Sarup Prabhu Ki. Ravana Sarup Prabhu's last Puja celebration Ki. All glories to the Asam Buddha Bhakti. All glories to Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Gopi Manandari.
I just want to get the last word. And then I'll just speak for a few seconds, for a few minutes, and then maybe you can do this and very good kids on the views first. But thank you very, very much for your kind words. And I want you to know, and all the devotees to know, how whatever good I've done is really, of course, you're the problem of the movement. Much of it is from your association and from your inspiration. When Prabhupada was interviewed in Gainesville on television, the interviewer asked Prabhupada, how would I recognize a follower of yours? What would be the characteristics that I would see in him? And Prabhupada said very boldly, he said, he would be a perfect gentleman. You would not be able to find any fault in him. So Prabhupada said that when I was looking around for the perfect gentleman. So much. Until I met you. And to me, you exemplify so many good qualities that a Vaishnava has. And I know there's so many people that walk around this movement as big leaders, and you're very quiet, and I'm assuming, and that it's always funny to find out just how much power you quietly exercise. And nobody really notices I'm so much So you really are, you're a very, very great inspiration to me, and you've given me so much. I see here from the packaging of this gift you've given me, I see the word Mamba. So I see that you've given me a very valuable and coveted fountain pen, because you know I have a fountain pen fetish. But I want to ask something from you that's even more valuable. Please give me a blessing. We have to do that. That's what you're missing.
Blessing is one thing. Talk to one.
I love you.
I'm thankful to Prabhupada for his attention.
Any service I can do for you. With all your mercy also. Thank you very much.
We have a little kiss on for about 5 to 10 minutes. Okay.
So also as a disciple of Srila Vishwanatha Prabhu, who has a relationship with Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, we know that the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the godbrothers of the spiritual master should be honored in the same way. And also that Shikshakus are equal to the Shikshakus. But when your Diksha Guru has thousands and thousands of godbrothers, one doesn't know how to always trust them. But I'm going to thank you. I feel like he can trust you if you trust our Guru. And going back to your time now, Arnarji, can you say something? And so.